Hello everyone, hope you're having a profitable feast this year. Wish I could be there with you, and I have every intentions to be there next year. But we're going to be talking right now about what Picture Perfect is, the title of the sermonette is Picture Perfect. What does that mean to you exactly? Well, I can think back to when I was a teenager in high school and I was taking photography, and I used to think that that was going to be my job, is to be a photographer. I truly enjoyed it, and as soon as I got a job, I bought a camera and even a tripod, which I still use today. That's what this camera is sitting on now, the same one. But that didn't work out that way. I went a different route, but I still have the camera, and I still have other cameras and try to take that perfect picture. Or maybe Picture Perfect is one of those new Sony 8K LED TVs. Those things are amazing. They're four times the resolution of a 4K and even six times the resolution of 1080. But as far as TV goes, that must be currently picture perfect as you can get if you have a few thousand dollars to lay down for that TV. Or maybe you think picture perfect is a nice home. Let's say a home in a perfect setting. Imagine, for example, driving down a country road lined with lush green trees, set back from the road is with a long driveway bordered by white ranch style fence with green pastures on at the end of the driveway. At the end of the driveway you have maybe a two-story house perfectly painted with shutters and that is perfectly landscaped with colorful flowers and blooming shrubs. Well, right now, we're temporarily living and participating in a perfect picture setting, picture perfect setting, which we are practicing our picture perfect lifestyle. We're participating in activities that ironically are commanded by God to us. Right now we live in a picture perfect setting as best as it can be, and enjoy this at the same time, and have to enjoy it at the same time. I'll tell you, that's a yoke that we have to bear, living in a picture perfect setting temporarily. That's right, God did command us to have fun and enjoy the Feast of Tabernacles, as it says in Deuteronomy 14 in verse 24 to 26. This is actually speaking about a second tithe that we need to save or acquire somehow. That saving would be best to enjoy the feast. And verse 24, but if a journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hands and go to the place where your Lord God chooses. In 26, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or a similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in your household. So that shall, it means you have to. What about a picture-perfect society, or should I say government? But until God's government is established, we will not have a picture-perfect society. Something like that will take time. Mr. Vaughn spoke to us the other day about God's government and how much time and work that it will take to complete. Understanding from the people in the world. We currently have people on earth that are living in famine, living in poor health conditions, living in a country that has nothing to assist them in their survival. We all realize that these tragedies will continue until Christ returns and establishes God's government to eliminate human suffering, such as war and famine. We are going to help create a perfect picture world. First, each one of us will have a specific area of responsibility to handle. You ask yourself, I have no experience in running a city, so how can I be ready to lead? Well, the only requirement to qualify can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. In verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put the shame to the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Well, we have a choice. We can qualify for this and take the calling and take the responsibility, or we can continue with the same leaders that we have now that are not doing what God is asking or requiring. One other qualifier is to be a glorified member of the God family. Let's look at Romans 8 and verse 16 to 17. Verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We need to remember that we are only heirs of salvation. We have not yet inherited it. I have attempted to paint an idea of what is picture perfect. From our perspective, a picture of what we are capable of understanding. We can only visualize what we have already seen. How do we know what spirit beings find pleasure in? Is it special hotel accommodations, special meals, or once a yearly activities such as playing miniature golf? As spirit beings, we will be receiving the same pleasures as we do now. We will not have the true understanding of our roles and how to accomplish them until we are spirit beings. But we do know that we will be restoring the earth to its original state and teaching the people of the earth God's laws and government. We do know that God gets pleasure. Just look at the Luke 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your God, Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Or maybe over in Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God delighted in seeing us obey his commandments. About Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Here are just a few examples of what pleases God. So I can't really say what will actually please us. To no doubt, what may please us is the creation that we are responsible for how the people that we are over grow and learn. I have pondered the idea that there are discernible patterns between the original creation and the recreation that will take place in the future millennium. Mark Twain once said, "History doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme." If you think about it, there are some similarities. Think back a few days ago when Mr. Shannon spoke about the earth being covered with water. Let's look at Genesis 1, verse 6 to 8. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters, and let it divide the water from the water." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were on the second day. The earth and the heavens were completely covered with water. So then God divided the water into two parts, creating a horizon between the heaven and the earth. A type of baptism or cleansing, maybe. God is not going to cover the earth completely with water again. In order to accomplish obedience and understanding, God's Spirit will cover the earth and the heavens, just as the water covered the earth at its creation. Let's read in Acts 2, 17 to 21. In verse 17 it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and my manservants and my maidservants. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. the sun shall be made into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on my name, calls on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That scripture definitely paints a clear picture to me that God plans to pour out all of His Spirit unto all flesh. So for the remainder of the feast, let's meditate on what we may pleasure from as spirit beings, as well as we enjoying the pleasures that are at hand and are available to us, so that we may have a perfect picture of the Feast of Tabernacles.